You're listening to our continuous Hajj broadcast, and now we cross over back to the Holy Lands to speak to a personality who is well known to the listeners of Radio Islam International across Gauteng and the rest of the country, none other than Maulana Zahir Ahmed Raghi, who joins us on the line. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we also say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the listeners in the family of Radio Islam.
Maulana, good to hear you once again on the airwaves of Radio Islam International. We trust that everything is going well for you. We thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gives His servants various opportunities to do and to engage in ibadat. And yourself also having visited the Haramain several times and performing several Hajj in the past. Looking at this particular journey now, are there any perhaps observations or reflections that you'd like to share about your journey this time around up until this point?
Yes, Maulana, but before we go on, I think the media, especially people like you, are like the hawks. You know how to face people, eh?
That's our job.
Anyhow, alhamdulillah, the Hajj season is once again back. And we note that the authorities in the kingdom are doing their best to ensure the safety and comfort of the millions of Muslims who converge on Makkah to perform the annual Hajj, alhamdulillah. What I've noticed thus far is preparations are done to ensure smooth performance of the rituals at the various holy sites. It goes without saying, however, that the management of such a large crowd is indeed a great challenge. In addition to the logistics, we also are aware of the global and political, economical factors, especially this year, have added additional challenges and also had to be taken into consideration. Organizing Hajj and its management is an uphill task, especially when we know what the region is going through. But as we all know, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. Alhamdulillah, great efforts and progress in this field has been witnessed. Even today in the Jummah khutbah, the Imam stressed on the importance of maintaining peace and avoiding any form of harm that could be caused to any of the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what I've observed thus far, Maulana. We make dua that Allah make the rest of the journey a peaceful one, and Allah accepts it from all the Hujjaj, inshallah.
Our theme at the moment is symbols of Islam. Can Maulana perhaps share your thoughts on how Hajj is globally viewed as a symbol of Islam?
As well as being one of the biggest gatherings, Hajj, one of the biggest gatherings of people in the world, it is also one of the oldest. Hajj even predates the birth of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and can always be traced all the way back to Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and even prior to that to Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. But when we talk of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we note that not only in Islamic scripture, but also in Christian and Jewish texts too, the city Mecca is important. It's important to Muslims as it is the birthplace of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's also the direction we face when we pray. However, this Hajj, this year especially, comes in a time where sectarian tensions are rising all over the Muslim world. However, subhanallah, the Hajj provides us as Muslims with a chance to put aside our differences and unite as equals in the worship of Allah. It is a demonstration of commonality between Muslims, and I would even go as far as to say commonality between Jews and Christians, as many of the rituals in Hajj are based on the acts of a common ancestor, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. It is indeed an opportunity for not just Muslims, but all of mankind to come together and contemplate and reflect on their relationships with Allah and with each other. And we note in the Quran Kareem when Allah talks about Hajj, subhanallah, you know, the Quran is so beautiful. Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ, instead of saying, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that for Allah is Hajj upon all of mankind, meaning accept the unity of Allah, accept the message of Islam, and come all of you together to the precincts of this holy place. And after returning from Hajj, you find that the late American activist Malcolm X, and it's so appropriate that we quote him, where he had reflected on his Hajj, that there were tens of thousands of pilgrims from all over the world. They were of all colors, blue-eyed bronze, black-skinned Africans, but we were all participating in the same ritual, displaying a spirit of unity and brotherhood that my experiences, he said, in America had led me to believe never could exist between white and the non-white. He went on to say that America needs to understand Islam because this is one of the religions that erases from its society the race problem. We know what the world is going through today. And he even says, you may be shocked by these words coming from me as Malcolm X, but on this pilgrimage, what I have seen and experienced has forced me to rearrange much of my thought patterns previously held. These words actually ring true for many people. Islam today continues to be the fastest growing religion in the world, providing a beautiful alternative path for a world that is wrangled in division, in bickering over many differences. Hajj, subhanallah, is indeed a universal symbol of brotherhood and unity across all divides. If only we can learn the lessons of Hajj.
When we look at Hajj and people coming again and again, and undoubtedly the Kaaba has that magnetic effect to draw people, people yearn to come time and again. How would you describe that yearning that people have to visit the Baytullah? What is it that brings people back again and again?
Maulana, this is a question that, you know, boggles the mind. The human mind cannot actually comprehend what is that magnetic force that brings us yearning, the Kaaba, the house of Allah. And again, it's that time of the year where Hujjaj from all around the world have set off for this journey of a lifetime. All year round, the heart has this desire of wanting to visit and return to the Holy Land. But for some reason, Ajib, during the Hajj season, that yearning becomes much stronger to visit and in particularly to be around the Kaaba. Well, that most certainly is the case for me. I speak for myself, as this is a feeling I have noticed within myself over the past years. And one notices this feeling among the millions that you see around the Kaaba. If there is one thing that we can feel selfish about, one thing in abundance, is being able to visit the Holy Land and the Kaaba frequently, again and again. But this, obviously, just my personal opinion. Answering your question, Maulana, it reminds me of a poem of a very pious scholar who sums up this feeling of nostalgia very beautifully, which I have been reflecting on myself, and maybe I would like to share this with the family of Radio Islam. He goes on to say, the yearning for the Kaaba, which sincere Muslims feel whenever they think of it, is therefore not in fact a yearning for the building in itself. The yearning is instead a fragment, a breath of the nostalgia for our point of origin, for that glorious time when we were in our master's presence, meaning when Allah assembled the souls and asked, Alastu bi Rabbikum, when we were in the master's presence. One just gets goosebumps reading this. The mind, the human mind, is unable to comprehend what it must have been like. Yet the soul, and our soul knows what it felt like being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this yearning is actually a response to that. And it's also a response to the call that Ibrahim alayhi salam was instructed to make. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. It's also something like the umbilical cord between a child and a mother that is severed, but that relationship and attachment is always there. And a believer's attachment to the Kaaba is also similarly like that umbilical cord. As much effort has been made to sever that attachment, there's a natural yearning to the Kaaba. May we be invited again and again to this holy land, inshallah.
A beautiful explanation, Amola. Now, in terms of how things have developed and how things have changed, people often complain about the modernization of the area around the Haram. Is this necessarily a bad thing?
Subhanallah, Maulana. You know, the world, and as the world progresses, these modernization of cities are inevitable. In fact, it has been decreed and it has been predicted. There will never be any right or wrong answers to these questions. However, in my humble opinion, the primary thing about all these is to remain focused. Outside the Haram, you will see these tall skyscrapers. Yet, subhanallah, in the center of the Masjid al-Haram, you see the Kaaba. A single cube-like structure made of dark, rough stones. At the first sight, a shiver runs through you, and you wonder in amazement, this plain and empty structure is the center of our faith, the center of our prayer, the center of our love, our life, and our death. And you question in admiration of the simple building, where have I come? What is this place? And if you just remain focused on the Kaaba, then whatever is around the modernization should not affect you. However, it's inevitable as the world progresses and it has been decreed, you will find this modernization. The challenge is to remain focused for the purpose for which one has come.
Well, what is the most important lesson that people could learn from the rites and the rituals of Hajj? A lesson that perhaps we could implement in our daily lives.
Subhanallah. Maulana, if you look at the Hajj, and if you take a lesson from the farewell sermon that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given, where he emphasized that people, your life, your wealth is haram upon each other, respect each other, protect each other's honor, protect each other's property. We find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hardly made mention of huququllah, but he gave great emphasis on huququl ibad, the rights of fellow human beings. And we also find that in the ahadith, that when the companions during the Hajj asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Islam is the best? Which Iman is the best? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Tibul kalam wa at'imut ta'am. Good, sweet talk and feeding people. On another occasion, on the time of Hajj, Rasulullah said, Afshu salam wa at'imut ta'am. Also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sabr and forgiveness. Now these lessons that we take from these ahadith are lessons that we should have within us, because this is the adornment of our deen. And if we can go back with these lessons, inshallah, we hope that we would have had a good Hajj, inshallah.
Mullah, we're so grateful that we were able to track you down and you were able to share with us these gems and jewels. We really appreciate the wise words that you've shared with us this evening. Jazakumullah khair, and we request your special du'as in during the days of Hajj itself. Du'as for ourselves as well as the listeners of Radio Islam, Mullah.
Inshallah, and we also request all the listeners, and especially you, Marana, to make special du'a for all the Hujjaj, that may Allah accept their Hajj and may Allah make it a means of salvation for the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
That was Mulana Zahir Ahmed Raghi speaking to us from the blessed city of Makkatul Mukarramah, sharing with us interesting perspectives on various issues and aspects related to Hajj, and sharing great insight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the Hajj of all the Hujjaj, the 1.45 million that have gathered in the blessed lands, that will be moving towards Mina tomorrow and Arafah on Sunday. What a blessed opportunity Allah has granted them. It now brings us on to 24 minutes to 9 on the special broadcast that we have.